Toctionic Watershed Council is the new caretaker and owner of Jones Point property, and legislators introduce a bill that would make it legal to donate sport and subsistence harvested fish and game to nonprofit meals. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Jones Point is a venerable place in the Chilkat Valley. The origins of the name are uncertain, but over the years it's been the site of sawmills that have come and gone, picnicking families, and Klukwan canoes that have landed and launched from that site. Now the property has new stewards and a new purpose: to be rehabilitated, conserved, and enjoyed by the community. KHNS's Margaret Friedenauer has more.
The 50 acres of Jones Point that sits along the forested banks of the Chilkat River went up for sale when the village native corporation Klukwan Inc. filed for bankruptcy in 2012. The offices were locked and the property left to weather. The property was put up for sale as part of the bankruptcy settlement. It's a registered contaminated site with a few old boats, cars, and piles of diesel-soaked soil sitting under tarps. But where most buyers would balk at purchasing such a property, Toctionic Watershed Council saw promise.
We just looked at it as an amazing opportunity for us, for the community.
That's Toctionic Executive Director Meredith Pocart. She explains the layout of the property.
So it starts kind of at the corner there and kind of cuts a little bit diagonal over to Sawmill Creek. And then it borders by Sawmill Creek all the way to the Chilkat. And then kind of fingers out a little bit along what, like, that river road trail, and then a little bit diagonal also along this ridge up here.
The council worked with the Conservation Fund, a nonprofit with the mission of environmental preservation and economic development. Part of the organization's work includes acquiring lands for conservation. The fund paid to purchase the property, and now Toctionic owns it outright. Besides Sawmill Creek and the banks of the Chilkat River, there are also several buildings on the property, like the big garage that Toctionic is in the process of tearing down. That's in order to comply with liability and insurance concerns. Then there's the piles of dirt covered in tarps and held down with tires. That's a project the Watershed Council has also inherited. The contaminated soil is from another Klukwan Inc. property called the Tank Farm and is still being remediated.
Yep, that's ours now. That's our dirt. So we'll take on the remediation tasks for that. We've never dealt with contaminated soil specifically before, but it's obviously something that is in our mission, kind of within our scope of work and skills to be able to handle and be able to deal with, so...
The rusting boats, cars, and other items also need to be removed, including boxes and boxes of files, office supplies, and furniture within the building that once held the offices of Klukwan Inc. The corporation will move some of the files out in the next few months, although Toctionic is relocating to the building from its downtown Haines offices this month. The council will also rent some of the office space to generate income. The building will give the council more program space, Pocart says.
Yeah, be able to have a space that we can use for our education programs, for school programs, for community programs. Kind of be able to have a home of our own.
While Toctionic plans some rehabilitation projects for the property, it is also open to the public. Pocart says she's heard from many people about how they've enjoyed the area over the years.
And more it always comes out of the woodwork, like, oh man, that's my favorite dog walking spot or my favorite running spot or duck hunting spot or whatever. And so it's obviously there's some community value to this property.
Pocart says except for during subsistence hooligan season, motorized vehicles will not be allowed on the property any longer. As for Klukwan Inc., President Rosemary Hotch said she was excited for the sale because it allows the corporation to retire its $1 million settlement about 3 years ahead of schedule. It also recently sold another property across from the old Chilkat Cruises dock. The dock itself is still up for sale, but under ownership of the corporation General Income Trust. Neither Hotch nor Pocart would say how much the Jones Point property sold for. Its assessed value in 2014 by the borough is just over $730,000. Toctionic is planning an open house at its new offices later this summer. Reporting in Haines, I'm Margaret Friedenauer.
Alaska's largest regional native corporation will distribute about $13 million this month. Sea Alaska's 21,600 shareholders will each get between $130 and $900, depending on their status. The majority of the payout comes from a shared pool of regional native corporations' natural resource earnings. Other funds come from a savings account and corporate operations. Most eligible Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian shareholders will get about $760. That's the amount for those belonging to an urban native corporation, such as Juneau's Gold Belt. Those holding stock in village corporations, such as Cake Tribal or Huna Totem, will get about $130 each. Descendants of original Sea Alaska shareholders will see an equal amount. The difference between the two totals is sent to village corporations. Some pass it on, while others invest it or pay debts. In addition, eligible elders will receive about $130 more. The amounts are based on ownership of 100 shares of stock. Some shareholders have more or less due to inheritance or gifting. The Sea Alaska Board of Directors approved the distribution at a Friday meeting. Payments will be made around April 13th. A second 2015 distribution is expected around December. Each spring dividend includes $50 from corporate earnings. The past two payouts have not due to operational losses. Sea Alaska is headquartered in Juneau. Last Wednesday, eight legislators introduced a bill that would allow Alaskans to donate sport and subsistence harvested fish and game to nonprofit meal programs. Under House Bill 179, schools, senior centers, and other nonprofits could legally serve donated fish and game, such as moose, venison, caribou, and salmon. Alaska law presently bars the sale of such foods. Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins is the primary sponsor of HB 179. He says it's about writing legislation to catch up with the times.
Out in the bush, a lot of people, you know, in western or northern Alaska will donate caribou to the senior center so that elders can eat caribou stew. And that happens very frequently. And it's technically not simpatico with a rule of the law. So this bill basically brings what happens in Alaska communities, which is people coming together and donating fish and game for children or for elders, and makes that compatible with what Alaska's laws say.
Christ Tompkins says the bill also responds to a statewide movement within schools to eat food that's healthier and locally sourced. As examples, he mentioned Sitka's Fish to Schools program and community-shared agriculture in the Matsu Valley. The bill had seven co-sponsors when it was read across the floor. They included Juneau Republican Kathy Munoz and Democrat Sam Keto, who represents the Northern Lynn Canal, as well as a half dozen other representatives from both sides of the aisle. Christ Tompkins considered such early sponsorship unusual, but indicative of the bill's widespread support.
We've sponsored a number of different pieces of legislation this session, but this is one that we'd like to see passed into law quickly, and we're on that path right now. So I think that's why it's getting a little bit more attention, because it's got the hearing sort of lined up. It's got this huge list of co-sponsors, and, you know, it's a kumbaya Alaska issue. You know, everyone gets it.
HB 179 has hearings scheduled in the Fisheries and Resources Committees. The Haines School Board will consider approving next year's school calendar and four new hires at its meeting tonight. The biggest change in the 2015-2016 calendar is the implementation of a weekly early release day. Students would get out of school early, around 1:45 or 2 each Thursday. That would leave time for teachers to take care of meetings and trainings instead of setting aside several in-service days throughout the school year. On the consent agenda for the school board meeting are six personnel changes, including four new hires: a 5th to 8th grade special education teacher, a counselor, a music teacher, and a reading specialist. Superintendent Ginger Jewell notes that the district is still hiring for a kindergarten teacher, fourth grade teacher, SPED director, and technology specialist. The board will also discuss some high school graduation requirement changes proposed by the superintendent. They include making social studies options more flexible and requiring at least one online class. The school board meets tonight at 7 p.m. in the school library. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.